This week, we spent a lot of time talking about women's college basketball and the matriarchy and issues related to the matriarchy. And it's caused me to have an epiphany as I follow the news cycle. And it's called, one of the epiphanies I've had is just like, what a struggle we have in this country admitting mistakes. And we've made a monumental, massive, massive mistake that we're very reluctant to admit, and it relates to the vote. I thought Pearl Davis was crazy when she started talking about repealing the 19th Amendment. I thought she was just doing it to be shocking. I don't think that anymore. We'll talk about it today. Welcome to Fearless with Jason Whitlock. I'm Jason Whitlock, your host. Happy Thursday. Thank you for joining me. Today's show will be awesome. I'm going to do it solo because I'm going to say things that I should be the only one facing the repercussions for saying what I'm about to say on today's show. But I think it's important. It's coming from a real place. And so we will have an awesome show for you today. The first thing you can do if you want to support this show, the easiest and best thing you could do is go to blazetv.com/fearless and sign up for a subscription to Blaze TV. It is critical that we have subscribers because the kind of content that I produce, the algorithms on YouTube and on Apple simply will not support them. And so the best way to support this show is by supporting Blaze TV. Go to blazetv.com/fearless. Get your subscription today. Use my promo code fearless. Get $20 off. That's the best thing you can do. The next thing you can do is start hitting the likes and subscribe and subscriptions and give us that 5-star rating over Apple. You can thank our sponsors. And our best sponsor is Good Ranchers. And this episode today is brought to you by Good Ranchers. Fall in love with beef, chicken, and seafood all over again by subscribing at goodranchers.com. Use my promo code FEARLESS to get $150 worth of free chicken wings for a year. Plus, you can get $20 off with your subscription. Go to goodranchers.com/fearless. Use my promo code FEARLESS. Hook yourself up. Hook us up. Good Ranchers up because they're supporting us and the kind of content I'm going to bring you today. So solo show today, just me and you. I'm going to try to tie together a lot of the things that we've been talking about this week and just talk about where I'm at mentally and just be honest and transparent and try to unpack this in a way that I can be heard without people just thinking I'm trying to be inflammatory, because I'm not. I talked a little bit. I skirted this issue months ago in Arizona when I was at a TPUSA event out in Phoenix. And I talked about suffrage and the women's right to vote and the 19th Amendment. And as I said to you in the cold open, Pearl Davis, you guys know Pearl. The controversial YouTuber. I hate to call her controversial. She's really just provocative. She's really just bold. And does everything Pearl do, is it right? No, I can't say everything she does is right, but I do think she's coming from an honest place. And when she first started talking about and started promoting these T-shirts, repeal the 19th Amendment or women shouldn't vote, I thought it was crazy. But she's not crazy. And I think we've made a gigantic mistake as it relates to voting. And this applies not just to women. It applies to guys like myself. But I'm relating it, unmarried, guys like me. I don't think we should vote either. But I'm relating it to this voting issue, to the level of delusion that American culture has moved into because women are outside their roles. And women now dominate much of the conversation and all the platforms that used to be traditionally male dominated, and you would hear a more logical, a more reason, a less emotional point of view. Now all the conversation is dominated by women. And I reference this going back to, I believe, yesterday's show where we talked about Emmanuel Acho making just obvious points about Angel Reese and Angel Reese's behavior as a college athlete, and that her behavior, her in-your-face, cocky behavior, caused a lot of blowback and caused her to be a villain and caused some sports fans not to like her. No different than Johnny Manziel and the way he carried himself as a college football player, and people didn't like that. No different than Baker Mayfield, who was cocky as a college player, and people didn't like that. No different than Deion Sanders being a cocky football player and a cocky coach. People don't like that. Angel Reese carried herself in a way that was cocky and over the top and lacked class. And so Emmanuel Acho makes the obvious point, but because he sits on a TV show where a woman has to chime in and you have to fit a conversation around the emotions and feelings of a woman, Joy Taylor, instead of having an honest, rigorous conversation about Angel Reese and her behavior, we now have to deal with the emotions of a woman and the feelings of a woman. And facts just start evacuating the entire conversation. That's what's gone on in American culture. And I'm relating it to suffrage, the empowerment of women and women coming out of their traditional roles, and everything, it turns everything into an individual endeavor. Because, and I've made this point previously on this show, but before suffrage, the tradition of one man, one vote is because marriage was so prevalent during that time that a man's vote represented his family, his wife and his kids. And I think they used to limit voting to a man that owned property. And it was about people that were invested in American society and in a Christian culture. And so they allowed men to represent their families and vote and represent the interest of actual shareholders and stakeholders in American culture. Susan B. Anthony, group of women, now we need to be heard from. And that's when that began the process of dividing man from woman. You got to remember where we started at in a very Christian culture, a culture, as you know, I got this Bible that TJ gave me about the Founders Bible. We started from a very biblical point of view. And so in the Bible, in marriage is a biblical concept, a biblical covenant. There is no marriage without God. There is no marriage without this Bible. Man didn't create that. God created it. It's in Scripture. And so in a marriage, when a man and a woman marriage, they become one. And so they only need one vote. We decided, no. Everybody needs a vote. Everybody. And so that's part of the process of dividing men from women. That's part of the process of allowing emotion and feelings to be a driving force in decision making for all of us. And so when I say repeal the 19th Amendment, I'm talking about not just taking away the vote for women. In my view, someone like me who is unmarried, someone like me who has no kids, I shouldn't be allowed to vote either. I'm not a responsible person. And this leads me to, and I'm going to bring Charlie Kirk and LeBron James into this conversation, but this leads me to my words of wisdom, Whitlock's words of wisdom. This is like an epiphany that I had and have been having, but I finally figured out a way to express the mistakes that I've made in my own life and what I've learned from my own journey, 56 years on this planet. And the conclusion that I reached is men without women destroy themselves. You got that? Men without women destroy themselves. And so what I'm trying to convey there is that as I examine my own life and the mistakes that I've made that I've had to deal with and reckon with and come to grips with, is I lived a long time thinking that a lack of responsibility was the key to happiness. What I found out was that a lack of responsibility and not being married has been the key to my destruction, because this is what men do that aren't married. We eat too much. We drink too much. We use drugs. We party. We gamble and we whore around. We destroy ourselves. That's what we do. We eat, drink, party, whore around, and gamble. We destroy ourselves without a woman anchor, without a woman being there to hold us accountable, to have kids for us, so that we start thinking about, well, hold on, Jason, you just went to Vegas and dropped $50K down a craps table. You know what that $50K could have done for your child, your children? Do you know what your wife would have done with that $50,000, or would have questioned you? If I had a wife, would she would have questioned me? You just did what? You dropped $50K down a crap set? Are you crazy? Probably slapped me across my head. And I'm just telling you, I was such an idiot. I used to think about things like that. That, like, man, if I get married, if I get too serious with this girl, she's going to get to question what I do. And I thought not having a woman in a position to question anything that I do would be the key to my happiness. And it's really been the key to my destruction. And so men without women, we destroy ourselves. And any man that can't recognize that, either he's done the right things all of his life and probably got married at 24, 25, 26 years old, and he just can't relate to what I'm talking about. But any man that has lived some and has evaluated his own behavior, has evaluated his friend's behavior, they know what I'm saying is true. And it's like a lot of my married friends, a lot, and don't anybody, any of my friends that hear this, if your wife is listening, I'm not talking about this person. I'm not talking about your husband. I'm not. Trust me, you know, I got a wide collection of friends. But even those friends that might be hearing it, the women always knew, you doing what with Whitlock? Where? Why? Whitlock's trouble. He's an unmarried man with a bunch of money. He likes to have a good time. Spends way too much time in Vegas. They always knew, like, nah, Whitlock's trouble. I need a detailed explanation of what y'all doing, and you better check in from time to time because, you know, Whitlock's trouble. And they were right. Those women were right. So on the flip side of that, women without men destroy the world. You understand? Men will destroy themselves. Unattached men left to their own devices will, in general, they'll destroy themselves. Women, unattached from men, they will destroy the world. Listen, every time you hear one of these foolish women that hop on Twitter or hop on a TV platform and they say something absolutely ridiculous, completely devoid of logic, reason, facts, and all, generally speaking, the overwhelming majority of those women are unmarried. and they're bitter, and they're illogical, and they're just lashing out, and they just want to survive because they're out of their role. And so what they do is they create a system where everybody moves into the fantasy world and the fantasy lane and away from truth, and they create so much chaos that the world gets destroyed. And so you're wondering how we got to a place, because I've lived 56 years, and I'm sitting like, how did we get here where we're having a debate about whether men can be women and whether women can be men and whether men can say, hey, I'm a girl, and then go compete against boys, and where drag queens, men in drag, can go read books in schools to kids. Again, men in drag, men who are in full-blown mental chaos, they have a mental illness. How did we get to where we think, hey, let's put those men in front of kids and have them read to them? Let's take kids to let those men jiggle their private parts in front of kids. How did we get here? If this had been normalized before suffrage, or before suffrage took full effect, and before we empowered or placed women outside of their roles, people like this would have been killed on the spot. But we have made this huge mistake of saying everybody gets to vote. Let's send everybody a mail-in ballot. Let's send every irresponsible person an opportunity to influence this country. And so it's all moved away from a biblical worldview and point of view. And it's all moved away from man and woman joining together and becoming one. And letting that one person, group, that man and woman married, they get to decide what the country should be about. They get to decide what's in the best interest of the country. I give myself enough credit for having enough self-awareness and just my instincts, where I've never liked politics and politicians, but I also humble enough, and people don't see it as humble, but I'm just humble enough to say, man, I don't need to vote. This is responsible people need to vote. People that are worried about, hey, what's this place going to be like for my kids, need to vote. And so when you hear me talk about only married people should vote, I'm talking about man and woman, because all this other stuff we're calling marriage isn't marriage. It's not biblical. Marriage is a biblical creation. I'm only talking about men and women married, have kids in a family. They should vote. We've been suffering ever since we went this suffrage route, ever since we went this route of everybody gets to vote, whether they have an ID or not, whether they can read or not, whether they're drug free or not, whether they're a responsible person or not, everybody gets to vote. And we have massive chaos in this country. And it's really impacted the chaos and everything that we have going on in this country. And so when I want to go back to the words of wisdom deal, and I just want to add this last little point as it relates to women. Women without men will destroy the world. And I say that because if you really evaluate women, they build nothing and they destroy everything. And that's not a criticism. That's a fact. That's a fact. Go through the history of the world. Look at all the inventions that have defined the history of the world. Who invented them? Who built them? And again, oh, it's because of sexism. If it wasn't for sexism, they would have done it. No, they wouldn't. It's not who they are. And I don't say that to diminish them. We are two distinct groups, men and women. We have different roles. We were made slightly differently. We're both image bearers of God. We're both, there's equality between us, but our roles and our mindsets are different. And both groups, men without women, they're out of control and need to be looked at skeptically. I'm talking about me. And women without men who aren't in marriages, they need to be looked at very, very skeptically. They've turned everything into a clown show and every conversation into a clown show. And I want to give you an example. Here's Charlie Kirk, who's trending all over Twitter in the last 24 hours because he made some common sense assertions. And some of these assertions are similar to what Pearl Davis has made. And so, you know, there are some women out here that can see the truth and are dealing with truth, but Pearl Davis is being vilified by both men and women because we're stupid. But here's Charlie Kirk talking, making a very non-controversial point, in my view, about women over 30. Play the clip.
We've basically told a great generation of young women, don't get married, don't have kids, go get a corporate job. And it's created mass political hysteria. And then in their early 30s, they get really upset because they say, you know, the boys don't want to date me anymore because they're not at their prime. And people get mad when I say that. Well, it's just true. If you're in your early 30s, I'm sorry. It's like you're not as attractive in the dating pool as you were in the early 20s. But again, you have your corporate job and cats. So I thought, you know.
So that comment, people have gotten all upset. Oh, how dare he say that? Women start sending out pictures of themselves. I'm 36 and I still look better than such and such. I saw some woman. I mean, and again, this is the type of idiocy that we've legalized and platformed and we have to have discussions around. I saw some woman 54 that tweeted out, I'm 54, picture of herself, and I'm still more effable than Charlie Kirk was any day in his life. These are the people we're now having to debate, that a 54-year-old woman would tweet out, I'm 54 and I'm more effable than Charlie Kirk. Who cares? What grown, mature person would define themselves that way? Why does that woman need to vote? She's an idiot. She's unattached from men because, again, if she was attached to a man, her husband, she'd think about her husband and say, nah, I better not say that. You know, I have a husband to answer to, and he's not going to like that. And I don't need to brag about being effable because I'm in a marriage. There's a man that loves me and disciples me and mentors me. There's a man that I'm in partnership with. But because she's not, she's comfortable tweeting that out. And all these young people, this is just an obvious fact. And I saw people tweet out like, Charlie Kirk got married at 30 and his wife was 34. Charlie Kirk's not making a statement about the decisions he made in his life. Or maybe he's saying, you know what? I regret not getting married earlier. And so does my wife. Thank God we found each other. Thank God that, you know, I was on the hunt and looked out and was able to get married. But he's just stating an obvious fact that we've introduced this culture of delaying marriage. And everybody, oh, get you a job and get your career settled and do this and do that and then get married. And we have no idea that that's why that contributes to our astronomical divorce rate. And it's why we're on track. I believe they say more than half of women, not too far off in the distant future, more than half of women will be unmarried. And then I think it was this week, either Shamika or someone said on this show, or we said it in a prep meeting, that I think there's already a stat that 54% of black men are unmarried and have no kids. Kevin Samuels just talk about this all the time. And there's a multitude of reasons why that's true. But a big part of that is like our women, and I'm not blaming them because we've allowed it and we've put them in position, but our women are so far removed from playing a traditional female role that we feel like we're out of options as it relates to black women. And then there are, and again, I was one of these people, and I'm just confessing here of there's a lot of reasons why I chose not to get married, you know, late 20s, early 30s, when I, and you've heard me talk on this show that God sent me awesome women that I dated and really liked and really loved. But I was so controlled and so paranoid by my own racial idolatry that given to me by my dad, didn't want to disappoint my dad. And so I was pretty determined that I was going to date around and, you know, at some point God was going to send me this unicorn black woman and I would get married then. And I shouldn't have cared about race at all. Again, there's a lot of reasons why I didn't get married, but because I already done told you, I'm very selfish, very like my happiness dependent on, I ain't got to answer to nobody. I want to go gamble. I want to go here. I want to do this. I want to whore around, all this stupid stuff. And so as an older person, it's my job to pass on the wisdom that I've learned from the mistakes that I've made. And so that's what I hear from Charlie Kirk. He's much younger than me, but he's passing along the wisdom that he's learned. And the wisdom that he's learned is like delaying marriage is a huge mistake and it's destroying the country. And we're programming women to think, hey, get you a job, get you a college education, get you a job, launch your big career, and then get married. Do the most important thing last. And so I'm sitting here trying to impart the wisdom that, trust me, I got educated. I built a massive career, became famous, made a lot of money, and put marriage on the back burner. It's a gigantic mistake. But we can't talk about mistakes in this country because we're having a conversation constantly about feelings and emotions. And we're constantly driven off into a fantasy world. I want to play you another Charlie Kirk clip that people are responding to and reacting emotionally to. And he's being demonized. And this stuff used to not go on. But when you say, hey, women, everybody get out here, disagree with men, hop on these platforms, you control the conversation, everything becomes controversial. Here's Charlie Kirk talking about birth control.
A lot of them are on birth control too, and birth control like really screws up female brains, by the way. Every single one of you need to make sure that your loved ones are not on birth control. It increases depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation. Birth control is the number one most prescribed medication for young ladies under the age of 25. They will give young ladies birth control for pimples, for acne, to control their moods, their period. It is awful, it's terrible, and it creates very angry and bitter young ladies and young women. That bitterness then manifests into a political party that is the bitter party. I mean, the Democrat Party is all about bring us your bitterness and, you know, we'll give you free stuff. It's like we'll trade you, you know, bitterness for stuff, essentially. That's like the Democrat Party.
So, again, when he delves into the political aspect, I'm not saying he's wrong, but then it invites people to be politically partisan. But everything he said before that, it's indisputable. Birth control is a mistake. We can't admit to it because we don't admit to mistakes. But it's a mistake. And there are many things that I regret and I've talked about on this show, including, you know, you've heard me admit, I impregnated a friend years ago. She had an abortion without my knowledge, told me a year later. And I'm not saying that to protect myself because I'm saying I may have been stupid enough years ago to allow her to or to consent to her having that abortion. But I didn't know about it. But I've had to admit to that mistake. The other mistake I had to admit to, never really discussed and talked about, but again, as we've learned more about the damaging impact of birth control, when I sit here and think about the women that I pressured into taking birth control to protect me because I wanted to be irresponsible, because I wanted to do something ungodly, and I think about the potential damage that woman or women did to themselves taking birth control at my behest, that's on me. That's a mistake I have to cop to. And so this whole point I'm making about suffrage and just the empowerment of women into roles that really just aren't designed for them, it's so much bigger and broader and more important than people realize. That we've allowed a conversation, again, the man says something clear as day about birth control, and then there are people reacting as if, how dare this man criticize birth control? Only a woman should be allowed to talk about that. He's out of his role. We can do whatever we want. Birth control is empowering. Abortion is empowering. Slaughtering your baby in the womb to protect your career, that's empowering. Taking birth control that damages you and causes all kinds of side effects, that's empowering. And only a woman should be able to talk about my body, my choice. Just in the wrong role, just way out over their skis. The systems, the world, the planet works better when there is responsible male leadership and when we can have conversations without worrying about whose feelings got hurt. And anytime you set a woman or the overwhelming majority, obviously Shamika comes on this show quite a bit, two or three times. Shamika comes on this show as often as anybody. And so she's just different and has a different mentality. But the overwhelming majority of women, once you start talking facts and remove logic and remove emotion and feelings out of the conversation, she gets upset. And she tries to manipulate and control the conversation with her emotions and feelings. And that's why the truth is under such attack. Why you can't say the truth. Again, it's why censorship and all these speech laws they've so feminized the culture. We've so empowered women that we went from sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me, to now thinking words are the most harmful things on the planet. And if someone says something I don't want to hear, I've been harmed in a way that they can't say that. If you connect all the dots, how did we get to a point where, oh my God, they said Christ is king and I'm offended? So someone says, hey, you need to clean up this behavior or that behavior. Oh, I'm offended. And as a black woman, you can't say anything to Angel Reese because we suffered racism and there was slavery once. The entire culture has been feminized. Words used to not harm us. We used to be able to sit down as men and say really awful things to each other, but just deal with the facts and shake hands, grudgingly agree to disagree, or come to some sort of compromise after we've said the truth. This feminized culture that we have, women have to be in DEI. This is why it's all so important. They want a woman sitting in every place of decision-making and power so they can inject feelings and emotions and delusion into the conversation. How did three lesbian women start Black Lives Matter and say, start the whole narrative, oh man, the police are just out here killing black men. Oh, every time I drive down the street, you just see a dead black body and you know the police did it. How did we do? Three lesbian women. Three women, unconnected from men, created a movement that led to the destruction of things men had built. Are you following along? This is a very uncomfortable truth we're going to have to deal with. And we're going to have to admit some mistakes. And you'll sit here and you'll say, oh, Whitlock's sexist, and I can already, Media Matters or whoever these people are, that someone will go to my Wikipedia page and write up what a terrible person I am. Whitlock says women shouldn't vote. They've already done that based off the TPUSA. But I'm telling you the ramifications for this feminized conversation that we have going on in this country, and how once they get you talking about lies and delusion, once those three women that started Black Lives Matter got us talking about lies and delusion, what were the ramifications of that? Hey, let's defund the police. Let's eliminate bail. Let's start letting criminals in and out of jail for virtually no reason. Violent criminals, let's let them in and out of jail. The delusion of those three women and what they sparked and moving the conversation so that people were having legitimate conversations and discussions about something that just wasn't true. The police were not and have not been randomly killing unarmed black men. I don't care how many little anecdotal evidence proof. Oh, look what happened to George Floyd. Look what happened to this person or that. Those are anecdotes. The facts don't back it up. The stats don't back it up. It was delusion. And then there's ramifications from that. Serious ramifications. Ramifications that destroy the world. I want to pause here for one second and take care of, you know, our great friends and our great purpose here at Fearless. Preborn. Abortion has been the greatest sin in our history as a country, and it happens every single day. And unfortunately, overturning Roe v. Wade was only the first step in a long list of steps towards eventually cleansing our country of that horrific stain on its conscience. The Ministry of Preborn empowers young expectant mothers in crisis to choose life. Preborn has rescued hundreds of thousands of babies' lives through ultrasound. When a woman considering abortion visits a preborn center, she gets to hear her baby's heartbeat and meet that precious child on ultrasound, and it's a divine encounter. The majority of time, she will choose life for her baby. I'm very proud. You guys know how proud I am to be partnered with Preborn. It gives us a purpose. It changes our worldview. The entire conversation we're having today, it's connected to a worldview that life begins in the womb, that God knitted us in the womb, and that protecting life in the womb and when it comes out of the womb should be the mission of men. And there are hard decisions we have to make as men to protect life in the womb, outside of the womb, but it is our responsibility. And one of the small things, one of the great things we can do is support an organization like Preborn. They share our worldview. They put the work in. Our money's not wasted when we give it to Preborn. It goes to pay for ultrasounds. It goes to pay for the material items that a woman will need and that child will need the first 2 years of that baby's life outside of the womb. Two ways to give: hit #250, say the keyword baby. That's #250, keyword baby. Or you can give the way that I prefer to give: preborn.com/fearless. That's preborn.com/fearless. When you do, send me an email at fearlessblazeshow@gmail.com. The other thing, and I just, Preborn. We got to support Preborn. I'm throwing this extra thing in about something you just clicked in my mind. I want to remind you guys to email me about. And please, support Preborn. period. Now I'm moving on to a second reason why I want you to email me. FearlessBladeShow@gmail.com. Guys, on Wednesdays, we do a prayer call. There's about 20 of us. Most of these are guys that came to roll call last year. But we're about 20 strong every Wednesday. It's been going on for almost a year and a half now, maybe 2 years. It's been great. And the reason why it's been great is for things like last night. We've been having an issue in my family. My brother participates in the prayer call. And we've been having an issue in my family. And so part of our prayer is first we have just a conversation, catching up with each other and figuring out what's going on in each other's lives and asking for, is there anything specific people need to pray about? And then we pray. And then we have another conversation afterwards, just small talk, what's going on with people, sharing different things going on in our lives. And I'm always amazed that every time someone puts something on the table, there's someone in our group that has experience in that area and can offer some type of help. And to see it benefit me and my family, last night as we worked through something in our family and we shared it with the group, and instantly, I'm not going to say Chris's last name, but Chris is like, oh man, I've been through that. You guys should contact me. I've got some great advice, some insight, someone that I believe can help you all. So I say all that to say, if there's any of you out there that would like to participate in our prayer call, would love for you to send me an email at fearlessblazeshow@gmail.com. TJ will send you the information, the link to join us on Wednesdays. I think we do it at 5:30 p.m. every Wednesday. Want to invite you in on that. All right, so I want to transition back to my conversation about suffering and suffrage. And there was a woman this morning, I think her name's Natasha Alford. Yeah, Natasha Alford. She tweeted out something about Angel Reese and something going at Emmanuel Acho and talking about how Emmanuel Acho was adultifying Angel Reese by calling her grown. Let me read the tweet and take all the mystery out of it. Go back. In referring to her as grown, Acho ironically is revealing the way black girls and young women are adultified, dehumanized, and held to a different standard regularly. There is no gender neutral or racially indifferent take here about Angel Reese. He's proving it. So I saw this tweet from Natasha Alford, and because again, my whole mindset all week and basically off of yesterday's show, I'm just thinking about, like, man, how have things gotten so crazy? And just I'm looking at Charlie Kirk and what's going on with him. And I'm just looking at examples of just like women and men just saying things that are totally illogical. I'm like, how did we get here? How did we get so far removed from truth? And so I saw the woman's tweet and I tweeted back, adultified. Maybe the NFL can plaster in adultifying in its end zones, all because he called a grown woman grown. Some people can pretend to be offended by any and everything, and I'm advising people to avoid those people. So Natasha Alford then tweets back, I woke to a bunch of angry and toxic responses to my tweet about adultification because someone named Jason Whitlock retweeted it to his audience. I need those people to understand the internet is not real. Just as I calmly pointed out this well-studied concept yesterday, I will calmly mute the crazy replies. So she had sent me an article from USC that has some kind of mealy mouth word salad explanation of what adultification is. And this is another example of, like, Emmanuel Acho says something. These women go to work on, well, how can we dispute what this man has logically said? How do we dirty up this conversation and move it to some area that has nothing to do with truth, has nothing to do with reality? And so, oh, there's a study from USC that defines adultification as some kind of, and literally, I went and read what she said, some kind of racial bias where white people talk about young black people as adults and they're adultifying them. And in the USC deal, they say it's a newer term, and it's an example of the left and this crazy feminized world that we have where no one takes responsibility for anything. There's always an excuse that academia comes up with for any and everyone's failures. And it's generally white supremacy. It's to blame for everything or some type of privilege and bias. Or basically, it's all about male. The patriarchy has ruined everything and they adultify people. And, you know, white people adultify black kids. It's racial bias. And it's all removed from reality. And people like this woman, she's a contributor for CNN. She goes on CNN and spreads this kind of illogic. She's given a seat at the table to spread delusion. And so in a response to her, I walked her through what adultifying really is. And again, I don't care what USC says. I didn't go to USC. I barely graduated from Ball State, but I've lived 56 years now. And I know what adultifying is. And adultifying has nothing to do as it relates to Angel Reese, who's 21, and as it relates to a lot of these young black people. They're adultified long before they ever meet a white person. Mama and daddy adultify young black kids, and white people adultify some of their kids in the exact same way. But it's really prevalent among black people. And so we have to deal with that reality. Because adultifying is when mama and daddy go their separate ways and there's no man in the house. There's houses are supposed, when they have kids, houses should have a man and a woman sharing the responsibility of supervising that child and defining roles for that child and protecting that child and nourishing that child and caring for that child. When daddy gets pushed out of the house, or mama chooses drugs, or mama chooses a boyfriend, or mama chooses anything else other than the two people that created that child caring for that child, they've adultified that child, because the statistics will prove and do prove that children that aren't supervised by both parents are more likely to fall victim to sexual exploitation and lean into sexual experiences way earlier than kids who are supervised by mama and daddy in the same home. That's what's going on with young girls and young boys in the black community. So many of our children are born into single parent homes. And I don't care what study someone paid for and fixed up that says black fathers are actually more involved, even though they're outside the home. That's a lie, and everybody knows it. If the man's not in the house, making everybody in that house feel like, oh, daddy's in here, I'm safe. He ain't in that house every day, providing that comfort for that woman and the children he produced. He's adultifying that child. He's making that boy and girl more likely to be sexually exploited or more likely to engage in sexual activity long before they're ready. That's adultifying. When a single mama takes her young son and says, at 12-year-olds, you're the man of the house, that's adultifying that child, and it is exploitive, and it is damaging. But we can't have this conversation. Turn on any of these television networks, turn on any of these media outlets, and see if that conversation ever transpires. Instead, they get some overweight, angry woman to go on TV and say, oh, Emmanuel Acho called a 21-year-old woman grown. He's adultified her. No, 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 no. We have to, if we want to fix and improve anything, we have to deal with the reality. If you want to know, and again, it's discussed all the time privately, not in public spaces, but privately. Black people are having the conversation like, man, what's going on with our young people? Man, you know, we had a gay person or two or three when we were in high school, but good Lord, all of these kids are bisexual or gay now. What's going on? I don't understand. They've been adultified. There was no supervision in the home. They were sexually exploited. It's a fact. And we need to have that discussion. We'll never have it because we've installed women at the head of the black community. And they're not going to talk about what their irresponsible behavior has led to and caused. And so they're going to come up with some delusional explanation. Well, it's Emmanuel Acho calling Angel Reese a grown. That's the problem. If Emmanuel Acho would quit calling 21-year-old women grown, oh, how much better the world. Now, keep in mind, Emmanuel Acho is black. Just imagine if this had been a white person who said that Angel Reese was grown. Oh, my God. That's what the slave owner said when they would come in and rape a 19-year-old girl. They would say she's grown. It's all a deflection. The most manly, mature, humble, biblically approved thing that a man could do is admit a mistake and correct. That's a sign of maturity. That's a serious person. Not in women's nature to admit a mistake. I'm not saying that to be harsh. I'm not saying that to be adversarial. I'm saying that we're built differently mentally, and we're built to play different roles. And it's why the Bible prescribes male leadership, because a man is more likely to say, I effed that up, and I'm sorry. Let me see if I can fix it. I'm not saying he's going to follow up. And I know some of you women are like, man, you heard my husband, the mistakes he's made, and he'll cop to them, but he won't correct. I'm not saying he'll be perfect and correct. I'm saying he's more prone to acknowledge a mistake. And that's where we need to go back to in this country. We have to acknowledge mistakes. The mistakes we're making right now. Everybody's real comfortable. Well, you know, 150 years ago, they had slavery. That was a mistake. Oh, you know, 80 years ago, there was Jim Crow. That was a mistake. Everybody's comfortable talking about mistakes they were uninvolved in or mistakes they can benefit from now. But the mistakes we're making today, we don't want to address them. Birth control? Nah, let's don't talk about it. Delaying marriage? Nah, let's don't talk about it. Suffrage? Making politics this whole individual thing and everybody just looking out for their own selfish interest. A vote should represent a family. A vote should represent a man and woman in marriage attending to the kids that they created. That's who should vote. This whole mentality. Everybody's vote. Vote or die. It's a mistake. And again, there's a group of people that, hey, no IDs, no nothing. Everybody gets to vote. My cousin that sits on the couch smoking weed all day and used to be addicted to crack cocaine, he needs to vote. Everybody should have a say-so. No, they shouldn't. That's one of the big problems we have, is we're giving kids too much say-so. They're not ready for it. We're adultifying kids by giving them too much say-so. Kids should do what they're told, because it's in their best interest. And I used to be a kid that bucked up against doing what I was told. But my father forced it on me. My mother forced it on me. They allowed me to be a kid. And they never got all caught up in, oh, I don't want to hurt Jason's feelings, or, he needs to have a voice here too. No, I didn't. I wasn't ready. Not everything is for everybody. And we've given everything to everybody, and we're now paying the price for it. And so, Pearl, oh, you're an apology. I thought you were crazy when you were questioning the sanity of the 19th Amendment. I thought you were just trolling for attention. I thought you were just doing it for likes and traction. No, there's some truth to what Pearl is saying. Not everyone should vote. And this whole political thing, when you turn the entire country and everything's a political discussion, this whole everybody vote deal has divided men and women. And as long as we're divided, and as long as we keep moving further and further away from a biblical marriage, this country will remain in chaos and in freefall. And I say that knowing I made horrible mistakes in my younger years, in my 20s and 30s. Should have got married. Today, would like to get married. Very, very much more difficult now than then. I got bad habits and, things that the women that I like probably maybe aren't who I should marry. Hard to correct that, the things you like. But I made a mistake. I'm willing to admit it. We have to get back in that mentality of admitting mistakes. It's what real men do. It's what real leaders do. And if we don't admit the mistakes, we're going to continue to go play in fantasy land and made up land and deal with the delusion of a bunch of single women who were mad as hell and wanted, man, I'm just as hot as I was when I was in my 20s. And I don't need no man. And I'm not responsible for any of this. The white man did it all. That's today's show. Just me and you. Had to get that off my chest. Thank you so much. We'll play tomorrow, and we'll see you tomorrow. Waiting for the countdown, coming off the breakdown, standing in line for freedom. Looking for a breakout, feeling like a standoff, nothing in life like freedom. Came like a fighter, striking like a ladder, making all this moves for freedom. I want freedom. No negotiation, my sister, no relation. We all just wanna have freedom. Sitting on a corner, never been alone. I'm breaking my back for freedom. Bless, we are living, get back. We are receiving, no deceiving. We all wanna be free. We want freedom.